Big game bust, big money budgets, and toxic negativity. Michael, we're going to break all of those things down on today's show. So what's up, No Nation? I'm Jesse. That's Michael. We're the guys from Plant the Spear, and welcome to the episode. We appreciate you guys tuning in. Michael, we had some news dropped in our lap yesterday that most of fans, I'm sure, have probably heard about with the UGA series. We're going to dive into that, and it's going to lead into a couple of other conversations in the offseason. And look, again, it's still pretty quiet on the home front for Florida State football, so we're kind of taking – this is continuing that kind of big picture talk that we've been doing over the last couple of weeks. So, again, we appreciate you guys tuning in. And Michael, man, it's we got some stuff to talk about today.
Yes, we do. We got some stuff to talk about today, at least. You know, it's been kind of like the tumbleweeds for Florida State news coming out this summer now with the offseason here. But thank goodness the good Lord upstairs gave us something to talk about. And I think it's an important conversation for us to have.
Yeah, and so we'll just jump right in, man. We're going to start with this UGA series getting canceled, which, you know, I honestly feel like there's kind of a twofold reaction when you think about this. Like, okay, you have the uncomfortable truth, and then you also have the somewhat realistic side. I think we should start by saying, look, this when this thing was scheduled, back in whenever it was scheduled, and then the SEC went to 9 conference games, and then the ACC announced that they were going to 9 conference games. I can't speak for the SEC, but I do know the ACC does have that requirement where you have to play a 10th Power 4 team outside of your 9 conference games. So the realistic part of it is this was expected. This was something that was probably never going to happen after that change was made, after the initial series got scheduled. So it's not that this is a surprise that it happened.
Right.
I just think it was after so long, you were like, hey, maybe this thing is actually going to continue to go through.
Right.
And then the news drops yesterday. Again, not a surprise. The release came out from the school, and I saw some releases from Georgia as well, where it does sound like both sides have mutually agreed to cancel this while also working on a neutral site game. It's only going to be one neutral site game from what they said, a neutral site game. So it's not like they're going to be playing both of these. You know, we're going to get into this, Michael. I don't know that I foresee that neutral site game even happening, if we're being honest. You know, looking at the schedule, I was on Locked On Seminoles with my friend Brian yesterday, and we were kind of talking about this there too. With if it doesn't get scheduled in 27 or 28, it probably would be 2031 at the earliest, because we also have Notre Dame coming up in 29 and 30. And if you're not trying to play 11 Power 4 games, you know, being that Notre Dame is an independent, but we're obviously a Power 4 team there, I just don't see where this is going to fit in anywhere before that. And to me, the longer you kick this can down the road, the less I see it happening. Now, before I throw it back to you, we're going to approach this from a lot of different angles. That's just kind of dropping the news. But the one thing that I did want to say about this is it's not – because there's a little bit of this weird narrative. This is not Florida State ducking anybody.
Correct.
This is not Georgia, you know. Hey, Doak Campbell's where SEC teams' dreams go to die, right? I mean, Alabama, everyone said, like, oh, thank God we're not going to get whooped. Well, they said the same thing about Bama last year, and you see what happened there. They also canceled – Georgia, that is, canceled a series, a home-and-home with Louisville. Now Florida State, the same day that this news broke, Alabama broke the news that they canceled one with Oklahoma State. They did keep their series with Ohio State. So, you know, man, this is just kind of the trend of where things are going. You're seeing a lot of teams now, and we're going to get into this in a minute, but it's just calculated risk. Like, how much non-conference risk are you willing to take? And we'll talk about that more in a minute, but I want to throw it back to you. Now that we just have the news, it is canceled. They're looking at a neutral site game. I'm doubtful that there is a neutral site game even going to happen.
Yeah, and I think off air, you and I have speculated for the last few years that we felt like this series might be in danger, especially when they went to the 9 conference games. Obviously, this year, Florida State's playing 8, but next year they're going to be required to play 9 to catch up. And because of that, they have to figure out, you know, what they do. And so you're looking at a schedule in 27 where you're going to have 3 non-conference opponents, with one of them being Florida, and then probably 2 being somewhere in the cupcake-ish G5 maybe program, and they'll probably add that game that was supposed to be with Georgia, as you mentioned, pre-show, probably another ACC game to get them to 9. So I think that's one. So one, this is not something that wasn't expected. It was just a matter of not if, but when this would take place.
Yeah.
I think two, we As soon as I read, like, we're trying to schedule a non-conference game, I rolled my eyes because that was just a way of putting lipstick on a pig of like, you ain't going to really try. Mm-hmm. You might try. Hey, what about this day? No, you can't do that day. Oh, well, we tried. Right.
Yeah.
Like that's what it's going to be like, just because it's just a lot more difficult to try to get those things. And especially when you back out, I mean, these games are scheduled 5-6 years in advance. And there's a reason for it because of how money and TV works. But another thing, Jesse, that I don't think people are talking about enough is this, and I'd love to get your thoughts on this, is, you know, Georgia canceled a series with Louisville. Georgia canceled and Florida State canceled a series with each other. Alabama's canceled a series with Oklahoma State, but they kept their Ohio State series. So it seems like the SEC and the Big Ten are in some ways shutting out the ACC and the Big 12 in these big time matchups,
yeah,
and keeping the matchups between themselves, further alienating themselves to the Power 2 and alienating away the ACC and the Big 12. And I think that's the bigger thing people should be talking about, is that the SEC and the Big 10 are basically creating a monopoly and secluding the other conferences. And we've said for many years, the reason why the Power 4 hasn't broken away from the Group of 5, especially for the playoffs, is because there's a danger of the lawsuit. Well, look, they're just doing it to their brethrens, their little brethrens, yeah, the yeah, ACC and the Big 12, and eventually they're going to do it to the G5. So I think that's the bigger concern, yeah, that people should be thinking about.
You know, that is a good point, because I vaguely remember sometime over the last year or so with there being some comment about Tony Petitti from the Big Ten and Greg Sankey from the SEC talking about how, you know, we should play some of these games, these cross-conference games. And so that's a good point that they are keeping the games against the Big Ten. So, yeah, that'll be a trend to watch in the future where, like you said, maybe you can't legally break away. Mm-hmm. You just – it's like this – the scheduling alliance that we were supposed to have with the Big Ten when everyone was mad at the SEC. Now the enemy of my enemy has both become friends. And so now we just have a bunch of enemies. So that's unfortunate. And is why Florida State's trying to get to that Power 2 table, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. But yeah, that's a very interesting thing there. And I want to approach the cancellation news from kind of from two different perspectives, right? Okay. The on-field and the off-field perspective, right? Now, first off, just a Twitter overlook. Fans are pissed about this, and I'm pissed at this.
Surprisingly.
Because, yeah, like, you know, as someone who has a lot of ties to Georgia with my family and stuff like that, this was two games I planned on being at in Tallahassee and in Athens. Now, the on-the-field perspective, again, you know, the tough pill to swallow here is that, yes, it probably saves us two losses, maybe two embarrassing losses. You know, and if you have a new coach going into next year, like, this is the last thing you want to do is, hey, man, welcome to Tallahassee. Here's Georgia game one for the next 2 years. Like, congratulations. Welcome to the show. But again, man, you just never, that's why they play the games, right? That's why Alabama came in there with a big head last year thinking that they were going to roll us, and they did not, and they got beat. And the reason that, you know, I want to focus this in two different sides is when you talk about the on-field perspective is, you know, I do think these games should still get played, but I understand both sides of the argument, right? I understand from, let's just say, an Indiana perspective, right? You're reigning national champion. Look at their out-of-conference schedule last year. They played North Texas, Howard, and Western Kentucky, and that was it. They, in no way, now granted, they went 16-0, so you couldn't leave them out really anyway, although they left us out. But the thing is, they didn't take any unnecessary risk in the non-conference schedule, and they didn't get penalized for it.
Right.
So it really does kind of tell you that you just don't need to take the unnecessary risk with such a heavy weight being placed on the conference games.
Right.
I also think you can look at that a little bit different from the Power 2 conferences versus being in the other two conferences, which is an easy way to kind of say that. In the fact that in the Power 2, you're probably in any given season going to play, what, 4 to 6 ranked teams or something like that. Your schedule. Now, with the caveat that we know the SEC rankings and stuff like that get hyperinflated based on propaganda, ESPN, all that stuff. I'll put on the tinfoil hat for that. But I think it is one where you have enough strength to schedule in those just based on the view of how your conference is, right? But when you're playing in one of the other two conferences, the ones that don't have that kind of big name cachet, you're not viewed as one of the Power 2 conferences, you kind of need these out-of-conference games to kind of boost your resume. And the perfect example, too, of why I think it should be played and why I think the risk is worth taking is the Alabama example was perfect last year, right? Alabama took the risk of playing a big season opener and lost. Embarrassing. Like, you may have seen a lot of red flags be raised in Tuscaloosa. They still made the playoffs.
Still made the playoffs.
It didn't affect anything. So taking the risk didn't hurt you. It was all in how you recovered.
Right.
Well, on the flip side of that, for Florida State, the benefit was you went from, well, can they be better than 2-10 to holy cow, they might be a playoff team that fast in like one week. And so to me, the risk reward is certainly worth taking depending on where you're at. And I also think from on the field perspective, you know, at a time where we talk about the power two and the other two and all these things, you know, I think you should have these similar to basketball, like the ACC Big Ten Challenge and things like that. Like if you're going to claim, and I understand you have the playoffs that can solve this in a certain way, especially if they end up going to 24 teams. But at a time when you're saying we're the power two and we're the best conference and you're not, well, settle it on the field, man. Why not let these big non-conference matchups happen? So when you get to playoff time, when the committee says, oh, well, you know, it's harder to get through an SEC schedule than it is an ACC schedule. Well, what if, and I'm not saying this would happen, but what if the ACC like had four big matchups against the SEC week one and won all four of them? Well, how can you really say that?
Right.
So to me, that's why it would be important to keep these games from an on-the-field perspective. But, you know, I mean, I get it. I've read most of the comments from the show I did on Locked On yesterday, and everyone thinks, you know, we're skipping a heavyweight fight that we're not ready for. And I can understand that too. But, man, I think the risk-reward and all that stuff, you should be rewarded for playing these types of games. You know, you should be like, okay, say you lost to Georgia 28-24 or something like that. Is that – any more or less impressive than beating North Texas or Howard or the teams that I just named that Indiana played by 50? I think that proves more than that. And so to me, I think the risk should be rewarded, not dodged.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing for me is this, and I'm not talking about Florida State being in the playoff, you know, that's a whole nother conversation. Yeah. What I'm talking about is from the ACC standpoint, because what's going to happen is the ACC champion, let's say it's Clemson or Miami or somebody like that, and they haven't played one of these big names, you know, on the power two in Big Ten or SEC. When they get to the playoffs, they're automatically going to be seeded lower than any other Big Ten or SEC school because in a human era system, which is the College Football Playoff Committee, they're always going to favor the schedules of the Big Ten and the SEC because they're going to say, well, they played harder teams. You just played in this ACC team. You played in this Big 12 team. You played in a G5. Your schedule isn't as difficult as that. And so these non-conference games from an on-the-field perspective, that's what hurts about not having those types of games is you don't have those marquee matchups that remain in the committee's mind throughout the entire season.
Yeah.
So let's say Florida State had gone on and went 10-2, right? And let's say they get to the ACC championship, they win it or lose it, whatever. In the committee's mind, they're always going to come back to, because Alabama was a playoff team, they're always going to come back to, well, man, yes, Alabama got better. Maybe it was a fluke, whatever, but they did beat Alabama and they beat Alabama handily, right?
Yeah.
Let's say now it's Clemson, Miami, and they say, well, you got, you know, let's see, you got the Georgia, you got this person and this person from the Big Ten, Ohio State, all like that stuff. And then you got Miami or Clemson here, and they didn't really play anybody from the Big Ten that was worth anything. They played Notre Dame. They're going to be fifth or lower in the rankings. You're always going to be behind the eight ball when it comes to the committee's mind. I think that's one of the downsides about not playing these big games. And then the other side of not playing what's on the field is when you are recruiting, Jesse, recruits want to know, what big time games would I be a part of if I come to your university?
Yeah.
And you're like Stanford, Cal, Virginia Tech, Wake Forest, Boston College. That's what you're going to be at. North Carolina.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait, what? Whereas in the SEC or the Big Ten, they can say, you're going to play Michigan at the Big House. You're going to play Ohio State at the Horseshoe. You're going to play USC at Memorial Coliseum. You're going to play Oregon at Autzen. You're going to play Bama at Bryant-Denny Stadium, LSU at Tiger, yep, Death Valley. I mean, I could keep going. Ole Miss at Vaught Hemingway, like Mississippi State at the Cowbell Dump City, Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I could just keep going down the line. As a recruit, I'm like, holy cow.
Yeah.
You can't say that in the ACC or the Big 12. And yeah, so I think that's another detriment of not having this game on the field.
Yeah. Now, don't get me wrong. I do think these types of games probably behoove the lesser perceived strength conference, right?
For sure.
It benefits the ACC a lot more than unless it goes poorly, than it proves what everyone believes. But I do think it benefits them a little bit more.
Right.
Obviously, there is a little bit more risk versus reward when you talk about from the other two conferences, because you're still going to have that loaded schedule. To your point, the perceived reality of the strength of schedule is just not there for us like it is them. So we need these more. And really another example where it did kind of burn one team, but think about it. Miami probably doesn't make the playoffs last year if they don't have that Notre Dame win. Now, Notre Dame's a little different because they're contracted to play some ACC teams.
Right.
But no, I mean, you're right. And that is another thing when you talk about from the on-field perspective. You know, this was kind of a side note that I wanted to talk about on the show. Is like, man, last week I was at a concert at Neyland Stadium in Tennessee, and great concert. But half the reason I wanted to go to Neyland was because it was at Neyland. Like, I could have went to the same concert in Charlottesville. I went there last year. I wanted to see 100,000 plus stadium. And we had field passes, so I'm down there on the field. And man, I mean, I'm looking up and I'm just like, my jaw drops. First off, Neyland, to see it from the field is different.
Yeah.
That thing is massive. And so, like, when you just talk about the brands and to your point that the places that you get to play, I just did some quick numbers here. And so Clemson has the biggest stadium in the ACC. It's at 81,000. That is it. That does not go over 80,000. And so when you talk about large stadiums of 80,000 plus, the SEC has 10, the Big 10 has 5, the ACC has 2, and the Big 12 have none. Now, when you talk about small stadiums under 50,000, the SEC has 1, the Big 10 has 1, the ACC has 5, and the Big 12 has 6 because they promoted a bunch of G5 teams. So to your point, man, this is one of those where, like, a recruit going to, you know, watching a game against Wake Forest and all that is just not the same.
Right.
As watching a game in one of those things. And that's another reason why Florida State wants to get to one of those Power 2 conferences. So, yeah, it is really disappointing that it's not getting played from the on-the-field perspective. And you know, I understand a lot of it's got to do with money, which is the part where the off-the-field part that we're going to talk about next. But, you know, a lot of this, man, is what the problem for this is for me is, like, I understand why you're doing it. Like, so let's say hypothetically both of these programs, you're like, man, look, right now the only thing that matters is getting to the playoffs.
Right.
And so maybe you just focus on winning those conference games, and that's all that really matters to you. And so you just don't take the unnecessary risk. Fine, that's okay. But what about the fans, man? What about what makes – I mean, we plant the spear. We are trying to be the fan outlet, so we approach this from a fan's perspective. If I'm sitting here going, man, should I renew my season tickets in 2027? Well, first off, that's going to be highly dependent on whether Mike Norvell's still here, right? And, of course, you want to support your team through thick and thin. But now I'm like, okay, we were just talking about this before the show. So in 2027, you're going to get Miami at home, but Clemson and Florida will be on the road because they'll rotate back. Okay, well, I got one good game. Well, who's next? Oh, that Georgia game. I was literally, that was like 90% of the reason I was planning on renewing my season tickets for that season. And then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, no, sorry. No. And it's just the sport just keeps getting watered down more and more and more away from what's good for the fans. And that is what really kind of the unfortunate byproduct of where they're going. Because, you know, when you go back and when you go back to the talk about the neutral site game, I still am not convinced it's going to happen. I still think it's kind of a smokescreen, like you said, because how can you use 9 conference games as the excuse, but also have room to work in a neutral site
game? Still play the game. Yeah, exactly.
I might have been born at night, but it wasn't last night, okay? So, like, let's just go. So, I mean, you're not pulling the wool over my eyes completely here. So that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But one of the reasons that they're going to do it is because of money, right?
Yep.
You don't have to pay for the expenses of getting a team, you know, of hosting an event. You also get much larger payouts. There's also the new thing that's come about that we were talking about before the show that you can probably, you know, elaborate a little bit more on than I can, where through the Duke rule, you're now able to set up these neutral site games at a not your home venue, so it falls outside of your traditional media rights. So then you can market that to a streaming service that can pay you exorbitant amount of money. And you can also put that towards NIL and resources. So Like, I understand the financial side of it too. And don't get me wrong, the LSU game that I went to in New Orleans in 2022, son, you could bottle that up and sell it to me seven ways from Sunday, because that was one of the funnest weekends I've ever had. But there is nothing like what it would have been if it had been in Tallahassee and Death Valley versus New Orleans and Orlando. And so from the money side of it, I understand kind of why they're doing it. From the fan side of it, it just sucks that we're losing out on this. And the last thing I'll say on the money side, and then I'll kick it to you, is there's also a kind of a unnamed victim in this, and that is the Tallahassee economy. Yep. And that really sucks, because our title sponsor, Alumni Hall, gets caught up in that, right?
Yep. Yep.
We as a business, we're not in Tallahassee, but losing these matchups, that hurts us too, right? Yep. We benefit from that. And so that is one of the toughest pills to swallow out of all of this is, you know, you're looking at what, think if you were at that Alabama game, and we both were, I know a lot of people weren't, but the vibe, the energy, the you know, I looked for a hotel for that Alabama game a year before it even happened, and almost all the hotels were sold out. You're not going to get that replacing that with a ninth, you know, ACC, Wake Forest or South Florida or something. You're just not going to get that. So it's really a big detriment to the economy. It's a detriment to the fan base, and it stinks. I understand both sides of the argument. I still don't like it.
Yeah, listen, I just want to be real with the fans for a second. The thing is, and we talked about this in the pre-show, what we're finding out more and more, and I don't mean this in a way of like they're sitting in a boardroom, you know, laughing evilly at how they're screwing the fans.
Screw the fans. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
How can it feels like they do
today? It does. It really does.
It feels like they do.
But what I will say is this. They don't care about you and me. Mm-mm. They do not care about us. Meaning they care about us, but the care doesn't flow in the same way. And Jesse, I thought you said it perfectly in the
pre-service. They care about our wallet.
They care about our wallet. They don't care about our happiness. Here's why. Because prior to TV money, or even when TV money first started coming in, the donations, you said this, Jesse, the donations mattered most to college football programs. What the money was coming in. So Seminole Boosters was a big deal. So they cared about your experience. They cared about how happy you were or whether or not you were unhappy. But the thing they found out when TV money became the predominant way to make income was, yes, they want to create a great experience for you to sit in the seats because it looks good on TV to have the stadium fill. Not because they want fans in the room, because it looks good on what? TV, right? They know that if you don't show up to that game, guess what? You're going to be watching it on TV. So you're at home. They know that you're just going to be at home. And Jesse, you say this all the time, right? When it comes to Florida State football, we're like bugs to a bug zapper.
100%.
We just keep showing right back up. Don't matter how much. Oh, it hit me. And next season, you know what? We're going to win the national title this year, right?
Yep.
We just keep coming back. And these programs, these conferences, these TV, they know that's where you're going to be. And you say, well, I'm not watching Florida State until Mike Norvell gets fired. Guess what? You're going to be on Saturday morning at noon checking the CW, just looking at the score, even if you ain't watching it. Guess what? They make money off of that every time you get on that ESPN app, right? Every time you Google Florida State football score, guess what? They make money off of that, right? You're still buying the merchandise. You're still wearing it. You're still walking around. That's what they care about.
Yeah.
Because that's what they care about, they're going to try to do everything in their ability to make sure they get a product that TV wants to sell, even if it's at the expense of the fans. And so to me, that's what's sad about all of this. That's what's sad about canceling this Georgia series. It would have been an amazing series for the fans. But guess what? They don't care because they're still going to get their money somehow, some way. Yep. So if it makes it easier for them, without having taken a butt whooping or a perceived butt whooping, they're going to do it. That's the sad part for me.
Yeah, no, I wholeheartedly agree. And, you know, I even saw a comment that made a lot of sense. Like, why did we spend $240 million to renovate the stadium if we weren't going to host big games in it?
And exactly.
That's a valid point, man. It really is. And, you know, I've even said before, like, I don't argue that Doak needed some updates, right?
For sure.
I mean, if you've been underneath that stadium before the renovation, it looked like you need a tetanus shot at certain points. But with that being said, man, you didn't need all that to fill the stadium. You just needed big games and to be a good product, right? In 22 and 23, I've talked about this 100 times. You sold out every game but one, and that was Southern Miss. And I was at that game, and it was much sold out, right? So all you had to do was be good. All you had to do is bring matchups like Georgia to your stadium, like LSU, like Alabama to your stadium, and you see the impact it makes not only on the ticket sales, on the merchandise, on everything that they make, but also the local economy. And so that's the thing I think that gets missed in this. Like, man, I would feel so disrespected if I owned a Tallahassee business right now.
Oh, man.
To the point that I was just blue in the face, man. And so it's unfortunate, but I do think it leads into the bigger conversation of the big money budgets that mm-hmm. we're going to talk about now. And credit to Irish O'Fell of War Chant that put out this article talking about, you know, Michael Alford met with the Board of Trustees at some kind of retreat thing and presented a slide to them that, you know, it was reported that 2025, for the first time ever, Florida State spent over $200 million on their athletic budget. And by 2027, they're planning on spending a 25% increase to $250 million. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the point of that was, he goes, well, look, this is what the teams in the Power Two conferences are spending, you know, at least at the top tier level. And we expect there to be some more conference realignment moves in the next 24 months. So we basically have to make ourselves look like a Power Two team so that when they come calling, we can be a Power Two team. And so the problem with that is, he also said in that presentation that, look, man, right now, the bills outweigh the paychecks.
Right.
And so they have to find ways to spend wiser, to generate more revenue, to make cuts. You know, they talked about making Olympic cuts. Cuts to Olympic sports, but they're like, look, man, that's a drop in the bucket. That's like $4 or $5 million. It doesn't do any good. Now, I will say that you are going to get some temporary relief with a thing they passed where the university can now kick in the cap money, the rev share money, the $22.5 million up until 2028. So you will get some temporary relief. But in that time, you know, after 2028, that's about when we expect the conference realignment to start moving again because these contracts are going to start coming up.
Right.
You've got to find a way to generate more revenue. You just have to.
Right.
And so they're going to look at a lot of these different things, man, but it still all comes down to TV money. That's still the big driver. So maybe that's why they look to these neutral site games, right? We can get a bigger payday because right now, you know, does Georgia need the bigger payday? Maybe, maybe not, right? They're already collecting SEC money. Do we need the bigger payday to keep up with those conferences that we're chasing?
Right.
Yeah, you actually do need that payday. The unfortunate part is you're still going to be at a disadvantage until you get out of the ACC. Right. Now, the problem is, I mean, you're kneecapping yourself, if we're being honest. Like, you fought to get – everyone says the lawsuit was a waste. It was not a waste.
No, it's not.
You opened up new revenue streams, right? You just – you're not good enough to take advantage of it. So you got to fix that first. You got to sweep your own side of the street first, but you got to get maximize every little bit of revenue that you can. And I would imagine probably what they're going to make on a neutral site game would be more than what you would make at the gate of just one of these games, right? But I think that also goes back to the stadium renovations of where, you know, why they did some of the things. So you can host some of these events like the Savannah Bananas that you saw, the rodeo, you know, that concert I talked about at Neyland. I did some Google searching and it sounds like these venues make $1 to $3 million in a weekend, in a night just to host these. So, you know, while some people might not like seeing that in your stadium, man, it's the name of the game right now. And there's a lot of stadiums doing it. So, yeah, so you have to be able to do these things to generate more money because, you know, it, to Ira's point with the article that he wrote, you know, they're talking about right now in 24-25 fiscal year, the Big Ten distributed $75 million, the SEC was $67 million, and we were at $44 million. So you already have a massive gap that you have to make up. Now, they project, this is Michael Alford's presentation, they project by 2036, which say you don't leave the ACC early. That's the first year you would be, you know, free from the chains of the ACC. They're projecting the ACC's payout to be $73 million compared to $130 million of that of the Big Ten and the SEC.
Yeesh.
So the ultimate end-all be-all financially is to get the hell out of the ACC.
Right.
There is no way around it. But in the meantime, you've got to figure out a way to generate more money if you're going to try and spend $250 million like everybody else. Now, I'll throw it back to you on this. With that being said, if you're going to spend the $250 million, you should be winning like a $250 million freaking program. Okay?
Come on now.
We can go there. But It sucks that the series got killed, but man, they just, I don't know that the neutral site game is going to happen, but it needs to. From a money standpoint, you've got to find a way to generate more money if you're going to keep up. But money aside, the product on the field's got to be better with the money that you got.
Yeah, absolutely. Because if you're spending all that money and the product on the field is 2-10 and 5-7 and 3-6 and 5-7, I mean, it's like throwing gold in a porta potty. Like, it's just wasteless. It's useless. Yeah. It doesn't make sense, right? And so you've got to spend the money to improve the product on the field so that you can make more money, so you can spend more money, so that you're attractive to the power to when the conference realignments come around in 2028, 2029, whenever they're projecting it to be. And at the same, and on the other side of this is, you know, you're looking at these programs where you're trying to generate revenue streams. I mean, so they're talking about now having patches on the jerseys and patches on the helmets. And, you know, I know for the first time, well, not for the first time, they've been exploring naming rights to Doak Campbell Stadium for years, but now it's actually got some big legs to it. You know, potentially we might be looking at, you know, YouTube TV at Doak Campbell Arena on Bobby Bowden Field, like something like that. But I don't care. I don't care. Like, I love the fact that it's been Doak Campbell Stadium for, you know, Bobby Bowden Field, Doak Campbell Stadium for all those years. I'm still going to call it Doak. Jesse's still going to call it Doak. But if it's, you know, Swedish Fish, Seminole Hard Rock, whatever you want to call it,
yeah,
that's great. As long as it's putting money into the program, that's going into getting better players, better coaches, better whatever they need so they can start winning, do it. You're going to see a lot of that happening. You're going to see a lot of multimedia rights stuff happening, parsing out that stuff with Learfield, different avenues to try to generate more revenue streams. And we've talked about this before on episodes long ago, back in 23, I believe, about private equity. Mm-hmm. That is coming. It is at our doorstep. You just saw that the Pac-12, or I'm sorry, Utah has signed a private equity deal. The Big Ten has finalized their deal. Now, they have a $30 million credit line that each school can take. Now, a lot of the schools have come out and said they're not taking that credit line, but we're not far from the day where a private equity group owns Florida State Athletics because they've sold themselves to the private equity group, and now they're pumping in millions and millions of dollars on top of that. So until you get to those bigger conferences where the payout is going to be, you know, $120, $130 million versus $70 million over the next several years, you've got to find different ways to generate that revenue. And that's on Michael Alford. That's on Peter Collins. That's on
Richard McCullough.
Brother McCullough, to figure out how do we keep Florida State at the top as a blue blood of college football? How do we keep Florida State at the top? And that's why Michael Alford was saying, according to Ira, that, hey, we've got to spend like we're one of those top two conferences so that when the opportunity comes, it will look like that. Well, I would also add to that, Michael Alford, is that while you're spending like that, can we please win like that?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's true. And I mean, it's become a situation where it's just the wildest, saddest situation you've ever watched unfold, right? Mm-hmm. It's like watching a train wreck in real time. Like, you don't want to watch, but you just can't look away at the same time, because it's like, okay, well, how about instead of putting a cap on everything to make it realistic for 100, you know, let's just not say 100, about 60 of the 130 whatever teams exist in the Division I now, let's just let the rocket keep going through the roof, and then it's only really obtainable to about 10 programs. Like, the parity that we wanted from the playoffs really is kind of being washed away by NIL and the portal, right? That's the unfortunate part, because, you know, in that article that I wrote where they talked, Alford talked about, they're typically in the top 15 of generating non-TV revenue, which is good. Thing is, all the stadium naming rights, the patches you talked about, all that stuff, guess what? That's open to the SEC and the Big Ten too. Yep. So that's just stacking more on top of what they already have, more than you.
Right.
So the end-all be-all is to get out of the ACC, period. Right. Because not only do you get more TV money, then you don't have to worry about the Georgia series getting canceled, because now it's a conference game. Them.
Exactly.
Exactly. And so that's the things that you really have to do, man. And it's just, it's a sad time that we're in to watch all this stuff happen. Like, instead of just agreeing that let's just put a cap on things, now you're talking about spending $250 million a year. And right now the problem for FSU is, like, you know, that old phrase, the keeping up with the Joneses or whatever. Like, you live in the same neighborhood, but you ain't got the same income bracket. You're not in the same tax bracket, and you're doing every single thing you can to keep from getting foreclosed on before time runs out. And
that's
you
true.
Just,
That's so true. It's like walking into your friend's house and they got, you know, 75, 85, 100 square foot TVs. They got, you know, Gucci couches. They got bear rugs, all that stuff. You walk into and you have the same house, but you walk into your house and you got a futon, a milk crate, and some plastic silverware in your cabinet. That's what it's like.
Yeah, and that's the unfortunate part. And until you can get to that bigger payday, I mean, that's what it feels like watching Mike Norvell coach anyway. But that's the thing. Like, I think it comes down to a couple things, right? And we'll wrap this segment of the show up. But I think it comes down to one, the first thing you got to do is handle your side of the street, right? You have got to figure this out. And the problem is until you figure that, if you don't figure that out immediately, it's also going to cost you $46 million at this point to get out of that. Right. So you got to figure that out. But that knowing that also places more emphasis on getting that revenue if you want to keep up long term, right? Now, I know we've strayed a long way away from the Georgia game, but it just really kind of comes into the fact that it's just really all a numbers game, man. It's really all about money. It's really all about trying to get to the playoffs, and they're going to expand that. Why? More money.
More money.
That's why. Money is the root of everything in college football right now, and it's killing the sport, but until someone steps in and does something about it, that's just the way it's going to be.
Yeah, well, let me say this real quick. And to your point about that, how it's killing the sport. Honestly, I am now under the impression that this is going to have to break before they actually fix it. And what I mean by this is it's already broken. I mean, this is untenable, right? The reason why the NFL and the NBA and Major League Baseball, the reason why they, well, except for baseball, but still, there's still rules governing them. But the reason why those other leagues thrive is because there's caps, there's rules, there's contracts that got to be on, all those things.
Yep.
College football is just going to have to break before they actually fix it, because there's too much money right now, too much hungry power brokers out there that want this. I mean, you have agents of these players, you know, in the NFL and the NBA, the agent fee is 3%. They're taking 10-15% of these NIL offerings and contracts. So you got that. You got the school's greed. The schools, they got to be greedy, because if they want to have a workable football team, they have to do that as well too. And then you have these schools that have never been of any relevance whatsoever in college football, Texas Tech, Indiana, schools like that, that are now spending money because they now see a pathway to relevancy. And so until this system breaks, you're going to get this same thing over and over again. I'm just like voting for it to break. I'm voting for all out chaos, because that's when common sense, I think, will come back into play.
Yeah. And the problem is everyone keeps saying like, oh, it's killing the game. But then the other argument is, well, the numbers are better than they have ever
been.
Look, man, there's a lot of people that stay in toxic relationships for a long time, right? Like, it's just because you need companionship. It's what we know. It's what we come back to.
Right.
But you're right, man. And then not only do you have the school's greed, you have the conference greed, right? Like, the Big Ten and the SEC are never in a million years going to go, well, you know, we should slow down and wait for the ACC and the Big 12 to catch up because it's the right thing to do. No, they don't care. No,
they don't care.
They have to do – it's like, you know, corporate America. They just have to – it's greed, greed, greed. And there's no reason not to, because there's nothing stopping them. So, yeah, man, to your point, it's just – it is disappointing that you can essentially buy your way into a championship now. And don't get me wrong. Like, if I was Elon Musk and had billions of dollars to give to Florida State,
winning titles every year.
We would be on a dynasty run, son. We would have all the players. I would just buy all the players so no one else even had a team to field. But it's not the point, right? It's not the point. It cheapens the process a little bit, not figuratively. But it just makes you feel a little, you know what I mean? Like, Texas Tech wouldn't be where they were if it wasn't for the oil money that they had. It doesn't feel like you earned anything. Now, again, if you can buy those championships, it probably feels really good to put a ring on your finger, regardless of what it costs. But, man, it's not what made college football so special, which made it one of the best sports in America. And so it's just really disappointing. But now, one of the things that I will say, when we talk about the impact on the economy and local businesses and all that stuff, as we mentioned earlier, our sponsor is a local business in Tallahassee, and that is Alumni Hall FSU. So if you're looking for some new FSU gear to whatever game you're going to wear it to, neutral site, Doak, Georgia Southern, whoever it's going to be, make sure you get it from Alumni Hall FSU. Look, guys, they got great gear. I'm working on a shopping list in my cart right now of some new things that I need to order, because it's time for some new shirts and hats. Man, they got a great selection for you guys. Make sure you check them out at alumnihall.com. Navigate over to the FSU page, or you can go visit them at 1415 Timber Lane Road in Tallahassee. They got rewards programs. They got free shipping over $99. They got all kinds of good stuff. And you can save 10% by using code SPEAR on your entire purchase. So make sure that you check those guys out. We appreciate them supporting us and for you guys supporting those that rock with us. So, Michael, now moving on to the next segment of the show here. You know, we talked about a lot of this stuff, and the Georgia series getting canceled is just kind of another chink in the armor of what we're about to get to, and that is toxic negativity in the fan base. I've been a fan of Florida State for as long as I can remember. I'm only 38 years old, so I can't go too far back, but I've been a fan for as long as I can remember, and I can't remember a time it has felt more negative in the fan base than right now. I mean, you talk about – you know, and to look at the Georgia series, man, like what happened? First off, I know this money that happened, but like what happened to the, when you see the comments of, oh, well, at least we're not going to get our butt beat, you know, 2 years in a row or whatever. Man, did you forget this program was built on anyone, anytime, any place?
Anywhere. Yep.
You know, Bobby Bowden, to his credit, rest in peace. You should never be looking to duck somebody. I mean, everyone said the same thing about Alabama and look what happened. But now that's like, that's all you see in the comments of like, oh, thank goodness we're not going to get beat. I saw something on Twitter the other day where it was Bud Elliott was talking about something about how Florida State had a bad offseason, and a comment had got under the thread where, you know, there's just so much negativity among all the outlets and stuff like that. And so, and I wanted to kind of address that mostly from our perspective, right? The way I want to frame this is that, you know, I've joked about this for a long time. Like you go to I'd say 8 out of 10 Florida State fans right now. And you go, hey, Michael, you know, good morning, my fellow Seminole brother. And the response you're going to get is, well, it ain't going to be a good morning long as Mike Norvell's my coach.
Exactly.
It's just the natural negative response. And I'll say this, it's tiring. Like it's tiring to deal with constantly. You know, if you try to be positive, like say on the show, you're going to get torn apart. If you try to be negative, it's why are you so negative? But a lot of that is just where we're at, man. And the point I'm trying to make with this is, like, we don't do this full time. We don't get paid to do this. This is a passion project because we love Florida State more than anything.
Right.
We're not coming on here when we're being negative. And when we try not to be constantly negative, but some things may come off as that way. It's not that we're being negative because we're looking to kick a program while it's down, because, you know, we just don't like Mike Norvell and we just can't wait to trash on him or whatever, man. I've told you guys 100 times, I don't care who the coach of Florida State is. I don't care if it's Steve Spurrier coming out of retirement or whatever. If the dude runs, it's a hard pill to swallow, but if the dude won 5 national championships, I don't think anybody would care. I don't care if it's Mike Norvell. I don't care who it is. I just want what's best for the program, and I want this program to win. And so, you know, when you look at the things, when you look at 7-17 over the last 2 years, when you look at the fact that we just produced one NFL draft pick for like, I think, man, I looked it up. It was crazy. I think like in the last 20-something years, we've had like 4 years where we had one draft pick and 3 of them were Mike Norvell. Like the dude just keeps making streaks for bad stuff. Our recruiting class for 2027 is currently 39th in the country. Now, Alabama's 42nd, but you know they're going to climb up. Ours, and we're probably, sounds like we're going to lose our top safety commit now that LSU is in the mix. How can you not be pissed off about this, right? If you love Florida State, how can you not be pissed off? And how can you not just speak your heart in a way that's going to come off negative because you're not happy with what you're seeing? There's no way around it. We want to be positive, but we don't have much to be positive about. And I think that's a big part of what's wrong with the fan base right now, is it's just hit after hit after hit. You just can't seem to get any positive news, man. So it's not that we're intending to be negative on this show. I can only speak for this show. It's not that we're intending to be negative, because I'm tired of the negativity. This was supposed to be fun for me, right? I'm a first responder full time. I see a lot of stuff. Let's just say that. This is supposed to be my outlet away from, we're family friendly show, let me say it. This was supposed to be like the cleansing of the negativity in my life, right? And look here where we're at. So I don't want it to be like this, but I just want to kind of set the tone for you guys to know that, like, the second they give us something positive, we're going to run with it. But it's just a lot of negative, and it comes out of a place of tough love, man. It's not a hate for the program. It's not like we do this and we just talk about it objectively. It's we love this program and we want to see it be better. So there might be negative stuff, but that's because there's negative stuff to talk about.
Yeah. Two things to that, man. I think you said it really well. Two things to that is, number one, you know, like you said, we would get crucified if we came on here every single time. And all we were like, well, I mean, I don't know why you're all being negative. You should just be happy that we have a college football program. You should just be happy that we have good running backs. Oh my gosh, we think Daniels, if the stars align and the aliens come from Mars and from Galaxy 472, he could actually be a Heisman Trophy winner. You would be like, you guys are idiots. You don't know anything. You don't know nothing about our program. You're positive sunshine pumpers. You're liars. Yep. You're sold out. But then on the other side, if we came here and said, oh, they're terrible, it's the worst, everybody sucks, it's the worst program in history, blah, 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 then you'd just say we're negative. We can't win for losing. We can't. So what we've decided as a media outlet is we're just going to be unbiased what we see. Now, yeah, we're fans, so we're biased. Absolutely. We're going to be unbiased in what we see. We're just going to talk about the facts. And those facts might come across as negative to you. It might come across as realist. It might come across as, man, you guys never talk about anything good. Yeah, if they gave us something good to talk about, we would. Which leads me to my second point is we have said since Bobby Bowden took this program from a women's school to a dominant college football program and football team, and football wins, and three national championships, and three Heismans, and countless NFL drafts, and undefeated home streaks, and road streaks, and dominating the competition. We have said the standard is the standard. And if you and I, as fans, start to lower the standards and sunshine pump and try to find microms of little good things and just ignore all the bad things, you know what we are doing? We are lowering the standard. You remember a certain AD said that when Willie Taggart was here, that this is the standard and it wasn't good enough.
Yep.
Why are now, as fans and as media outlets, and we don't claim to be credential media. We're not. We've tried. They won't let us.
Yeah.
Right? So we are a fan site built by the fans, for the fans, speaking as fans. And as fans, it is our job to hold this program accountable to the standard they set. Not we. They set it. They won national championships. They produce Heisman Trophy winners. They produce crazy NFL draft picks over and over. They created Doak Campbell legend. They created the fear and the spear, like you see on my sign there. All of that was created by them. Our job as fans is to hold them accountable to that. And so when we get on here and we speak the truth, when we point out the inconsistencies, when we point out the discrepancies in recruiting and coaching and evaluating and developing and PR relations and handling and caring about the fans, it's not done from a place of malice. Man, there'd be Jesse talks about this all the time. There'd be nothing better than for them to win because it's good for everybody. Yes. It's good for the Tallahassee economy. It's good for War Chant. It's good for 247. It's good for Plant the Spear. It's good for Locked On Seminoles. It's good for everybody. My mentals. It's good for mentals. My marriage. When Florida State wins, it's good for my marriage.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we're not on here trying to be negative. We're just trying to be truthful. We're trying to be honest. We're trying to talk about what we see, what we're perceiving, and how we think, as just as fans, we're Monday morning quarterbacks, how they could get better.
Yeah. I mean, you said it greatly because, look, again, we're fans, so we wear our emotions on our sleeve a little bit, right? We get mad when they lose. We are excited when they win, and that's why you guys choose to watch the fan outlet so you can interpret us, so you can live the roller coaster with us, right? But that also brings being mad at the program. That brings being excited for the program. That brings this ain't good enough, like you said. I mean, Michael, you ever seen that movie Life with Martin Lawrence?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know the character in there, Can't Get Right?
Yep.
It feels like we're just Can't Get Right, right? Like, I might be about tired of your dumb ass.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I don't still love you, right?
That's right.
It doesn't mean I'm not going to be here through the thick and the thin. It's just we to your point, they set the standard and we're just trying to hold them to it.
Right.
And unfortunately, that means when the standard is not being upheld, things are going to come off as negative. And, and the second that things go positive, and again, man, I hope this program gets back to the top and is a consistent playoff maker. And I don't care if that's under Mike Norvell or not, because guess what? Paying a coach $46 million to not coach is not good for the university. So I just want what's best for the program. And so I personally just want to apologize if it comes off as all there is negative to talk about. But LA and them literally quit their podcast, because one of the longest running FSU podcasts there is, because there's nothing positive that they could say.
Right.
We're not going to quit. We're not going to do any of that crazy stuff. But it's just, man, it's just the place that we're in. And I know a lot of you guys understand that. And so I just wanted to kind of address this, you know what I mean? Now, if I was forced to be positive, Michael, if I had to be positive about this upcoming season, right?
Okay.
Look, man, there are some things that I like about this upcoming season, right? I think Deuce Robinson coming back was huge. I think Ashton Daniels does have some potential. I love the running back position. I think the defense is going to be better in year two under Tony White. I think the linebacker position took an upgrade. So there are little things that you can take away from positives, right? You can be positive about. But, you know, it's like the crazy example I was giving you earlier. It's like, man, say like it's kind of ignoring the forest because of the trees, right? I'm sitting here making the greatest steak dinner I've ever made to serve to you. And I'm finding little positive things, right? Oh man, I cooked that steak perfect. Oh man, I got the perfect baked potato on the side. I'm also cooking that steak dinner on the Titanic, right? And I'm knee deep in water right now. So like it feels good in a small kind of subset, but the overall direction is still downward. And so I can feel good about those things. The win projection is still 6.5, and I don't think we're going to make it. So I want to be positive, and I can be positive about the little small increment details, but you can still see the overall trajectory of the program. So there are things we can be positive about, and we will try our best to be positive about those things.
For sure.
But that doesn't mean we're still not upset with the state of the current program, and it has to get better.
For sure. And if I had to be positive about something, listen, Mike Norvell did not forget how to coach. So I'm excited to see him run the offense again. I'm excited to see what that offense could look like. Like, we actually might run more routes. We might actually have variations in our route combination, not just a nine ball or a side out, right? We might actually have curls and digs and ins and outs and corners and posts. We might actually have those things in our route tree again. We might actually have a good blocking scheme that we're running. We might see more counter. We know Mike loves counter, right? So we might see more of that. I'm actually looking forward to that. But I also recognize at the same time that while I might be looking forward to seeing Mike Norvell running the offense, Mike Norvell has run the offense for 3-6, 5-7, 2-10. So there's also that as well, too. We have to be honest about both sides of it. I can be excited that he is going to be running the offense. I can be excited to see Deuce Robinson under a Mike Norvell called offense. I also have to recognize that Mike Norvell has had some stars and he hasn't developed them well. I can also recognize that Mike Norvell has had the keys to the offense and has driven it straight into a wall. We can call both at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, I can be excited to see Mike Norvell run the offense in 2026. I would also be excited to see him run out of town in 2027. So, like, or 2026 even. So, like, both things can be true, right? But I just wanted to, I really just wanted to sum it up with saying, like, guys, we're not trying to be overly negative. And I hope that's not driving some listenership away, because I know a lot of people have said, like, look, we just kind of checked out on things. So, those of you who are sticking with us, I really do appreciate you guys sticking through us with this. I mean, we love you guys. You guys are as much part of the show as anything. We wouldn't do it if it wasn't for you, but it's just the way the table set right now, and so we're gonna try and find positive things, but it's just kind of where it is, man. And so, speaking of something positive, Mike, we can find something positive. It's just outside of football, and that is women's softball. So one of the last things I want to sit here before we end the show here is to congratulate the ladies on winning the ACC regular season title. I mean, just absolutely dominant stuff from that team. And, you know, there was a few little points in there where we weren't sure how the softball team was going to look at one point. And, man, now they are absolutely killing it. So they go on, they win the regular season title. They are in the ACC tournament now. This will probably air after today's game against Stanford, but they did already beat Georgia Tech in the first game there. So they did advance. I think it was like their 20th or something like that. And I think I saw where someone had said that they won – this was their, what, like 19th ACC championship or something like that, regular season. And the next closest is four. So, like, we are definitely watching a dynasty be built in real time. And so, man, it is shout out to the softball team. Just really proud of them. And hopefully they can take care of business in the ACC tournament, get through the regional, get to the postseason, get back to Oklahoma City, and possibly chase a title there. And I feel like it's a good year to do it because Texas Tech, and there's no one that really looks unbeatable. And, man, this team's got the pitching and the batting to do it. Issa Torres is a monster. Jazzy is just lights out in the circle. This team's got some real weapons. And so there is plenty to be positive about the softball team. Obviously, real quick, baseball also has a series up at Clemson this weekend. Clemson's having a tough time this year in baseball. So that's a series you're going to need to win. You cannot have some kind of crazy repeat of that Stanford series or anything like that. Then you get Miami at home. They're already done with the midweek, so that'll be the next two series back-to-back. You are fringe top eight national seed right now. You're number seven in RPI, so it's going to be really important for you to win those last two series. You really got to – it's more so you can't lose them, right? Because if you lose Clemson, you're going to take a big hit there. But – if you can win those last two series and then do pretty decent, you should be able to get a double bye in the ACC tournament in Charlotte, and then look at a regional there, and you may be that top eight national seed so you can host a super regional, which is very important because we saw how it worked out last year when you had to go all the way to freaking Oregon State. So, man, outside of football, there is a lot of positive to talk about, right? It's just I think the shadow of football has kind of loomed over everything Florida State related.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, just shout out to Issa Torres, who's the ACC Player of the Year this year. I mean, she wakes up and bats 500. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I know, and then shout out to Jazzy, who's had three no-hitters this season. Three. That's insane. I mean, my gosh, that's insane. And they play Stanford today, so hopefully they can get the get back against Stanford, go on to win the ACC Championship Tournament, get into the College World Series there. It'd be awesome. And then with baseball, you got to go there. Everybody hates Clemson, the PA system, and whatever they be doing up there. You got to win that game. You got to come back. Got to get at least two or three out of Miami, and then finish it out there and then stay in that top eight range. If you can stay in the top eight, I think it gives you a chance to at least, make a super regional there and have it hosted at home. That's going to be their best pathway to potentially maybe get back to Omaha outside of getting hot without Miles Bailey there. But I think our expectation for baseball has changed significantly since the Bailey injury. It already changed for me after that Arlington series that I was at, but I think even significantly more. So if you can host a regional and potential super regional, I think you've got Link has done a masterful job of getting what he's got out of this. Now he is going to be required to do some serious evaluations of the bullpen, we say it every year, and just of the offensive firepower that you lost with Miles Bailey, especially because he's probably going to be gone to the major leagues next year. So,
yeah, for sure. And I mean, you really. Hosting is going to be unbelievably important when you talk about this baseball team, because right now at home inside the friendly confines of Hauser, they're 25-3. Okay. They're 8-8 on the road and 1-3 in neutral site. So you really, really, really need to lock up that top eight national seed. And I think that would give you a real good chance to maybe get back to Omaha. But yeah, man, I mean, good stuff from softball. Best of luck to them to keep going, and baseball as well. But that's going to do it, guys. That's going to wrap it up for this episode for us. Just wanted to kind of touch on that Georgia series news. I know it's disappointment and a couple of other things in the show. We appreciate you guys rocking with us again. I know it's not super fun to talk about Florida State right now. I get it, but we appreciate you guys sticking with us, because brighter days will happen eventually. At least I hope so. I rebuke this in the name of Nebraska. we don't let this happen. So hopefully brighter days are coming, guys. And we appreciate y'all again. I'm working as hard as I possibly can to get all the cool new updates for our website, stuff that I'm going to be able to tell you guys about soon. I'm working through them. It's just, it's one step forward, two steps back, and trying to figure these things out. But we got a bunch of them done and ready for you guys. I just can't kind of pull the curtain back yet, but that's going to be a big time announcement. So look forward to that. In the meantime, if you enjoy this show, drop a like and subscribe on YouTube. Go ahead and lock in with us. Make sure you don't miss an episode by hitting that notification bell. Some of you guys might think you're subscribed and you're not. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't sign you up for anything. It just really helps the channel reach other Noel fans. You can also rate and review us on the podcast only form. A lot of you guys listen on Apple Podcasts. That would be great to help us reach other Noel fans as well. And follow us on social media too, because we always we're active over there, and we love to get in on the conversation with you guys. So drop a comment if you're watching on YouTube about what you think, and I try to respond as many as I can, unless you're a Miami fan, and then I might trash talk you a little bit. But with that being said, guys, I do appreciate it, and we will catch you on the next one. As always,
go Noles.